Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday. Isn't it wonderful to be in Brevard County, Florida? My name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE. And today we want to start off by saying thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538, 632-9538. Now, if you're dialing that on a cell phone or if you have one of the providers that makes you dial all 10 numbers, be sure and put in the 321 there, 321-632-9538. They can come out, make sure your heater is up and working. You know, you never know what day winter is going to be in Brevard County, Florida this year. They can get your air conditioner, you know, fine-tuned. They can make sure that your electrical issues are all taken care of. I was talking to someone the other day from a different county, and they were describing the condition that they had, that they were needing like a whole bunch of electrical issues resolved. And I'm thankful I don't have those kind of electrical issues. We did have some light fixtures that we needed to transition from old technology to new technology. You know who we called? We called Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538. They came out, saw what we needed, ordered what we needed, and came back out and took care of the problem. And for that, we are really, really thankful. And if you need their services, you can give them a call, 321-632-9538. I was also talking to another person, and this is the time of year where a lot of people in the service industry end up with a little more time on their hands, whether it's car repairs or construction or other types of repairs. A lot of people are putting their financial resources towards other directions. And so you might think that it's could be weeks before you get somebody out to take care of your situation. I don't know what their scheduling is like, but you can call the folks at Wyrick Air and they can put you on the calendar, get you fixed up. And if you call them now, I would think that you would be up and running before the holidays for sure. 321-632-9538. So we are going back to 1 Peter. We've been in 1 Peter chapter 2. We have been talking about the will of God, and we're going to move right into chapter 3 now. Chapter 2 talked about how do you fulfill the will of God even when people are speaking evil against you, calling you evildoers, and you just keep on doing the work. This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Okay? Actions speak louder than words. Wow, that's a good way to get started. Actions speak louder than words. A lot of parents find this when they try and tell their kids to do something instead of demonstrating that same thing that they're trying to get their kids to do in their own life. I can tell you that as a church leader, that I find a lot more success being a reaffirming voice to something a parent has already spoken than I do when I am a declarative voice. And the parents may not have built that same foundation. So I just want to encourage you, be a person who not only professes Christ, but lives Christ, proclaims Christ, and demonstrates that you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to take you right now to chapter 3, and that thought is going to continue over. We're going to pick up in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 13. And it says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So what Peter is saying here is, when we're doing good and people lash out verbally and assault you and defame you, he doesn't promise that everything is going to come out being just a super cushy outcome. He doesn't say that you might not experience what Paul did, where he was persecuted for delivering a girl from a divining spirit, and the people lost their source of income. It doesn't mean that you can go into a city that's filled with idolatry and people start turning to God, and all of a sudden the idol makers realize that their source of income is going away and they lash out against you. It doesn't mean that when Jesus comes, the Jewish authorities realize that if they leave him alone, they're going to lose their authority and their place, and that then so they sought for a way to kill him. You see, there are a lot of motives that people have. There's a lot of motives that people have for sin. One of them is finances. I remember years ago hearing about a pastor in a foreign country where drug cartels were very effective. And as revival began to break out, they made it their mission to make sure that pastor was assassinated. It took a couple attempts, and they were finally successful. But that didn't end the revival. It just gave new life to the revival. So there's economic reasons. There's authority reasons. There's power struggles and all sorts of things as to why persecution could break out. And so Peter begins to describe the process of how do we handle that. And he says, first of all, you've got to make sure that you are followers of what is good. It says, who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Make it a regular practice. Don't make it just a once a week activity. Whenever our relationship with God is reduced down to an hour on Sunday morning and that's it, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be a disconnect between the people that know you, between what you say and what you do. And you don't want that disconnect. You want people to know that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are a practitioner of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, that you do what is right even when it is inconvenient. You do the right thing even when it comes at a sacrifice. You are not just a professing believer, you are a practicing believer. I have a couple of friends who have lived in some very hostile environments where Christians were the extreme minority, and they identified themselves this way: I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the mindset that people had towards the theology of Christianity and the fact that in those cultures they define Christianity as anything that's American, and then so when they see American movies and they see promiscuity and nudity and language and bad language and unfaithfulness and lying and stealing and cheating and murder and all that sort of stuff, and they have been trained to put that in the box of Christian, so these people would say, I am a follower of Jesus. You and I, we need to be a person, we need to be people who are following that which is good. He says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. So let me deal with the inconvenience factor if I can. And that is, many people are looking to the environment of their situation to determine whether or not they're in the will of God. And if that was the case, many of the disciples would have ruled that they were out of the will of God as soon as they were incarcerated, and soon as persecution broke out, as soon as they had to leave their hometown. They would have determined that they were not in the will of God, but they didn't use that as a metric in their life. So I want to encourage you to know what God's will is. It is God's will for you to know His will for your life. I'll say that again. It is God's will for you to know God's will in your life. The Bible says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? And that doesn't mean you've got somebody else telling you what the will of God is. It means you're having a relationship with God, and God says, you know, I'm so excited about this for you. Jesus, in the very last chapter of the Gospel of John, tells Peter, this is what is awaiting you when you get older. And he sees John coming, a much younger disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he says, well, what about him? And he said, what is that to you? You pursue God's will for your life. And I'll be honest with you, I had to come to grips with that very early in my ministry. It's like, God, why are we not seeing the tangible results that other people are seeing, when I know that I'm right exactly where you want me to be? And so I quit comparing myself with other people's ministries. The same way, you can't look and say, well, opposition arose, therefore I must be in the will of God. You know, if you know what God's will is, if you have the peace of God that passes understanding, then run with the will of God and make the most of every opportunity. Here, what Peter says is, even if you are suffering because you were doing the right thing, and I can tell you I've had that happen. If you have never done the right thing and got in trouble for it, I got a workshop I need you to teach. And so doing that which was righteous and still being persecuted, he says, please don't let that convince you that you are not in a place of blessing. He says, you are blessed. I can be blessed and persecuted at the same time. I can be persecuted and be right at the same time. And so I'm not going to allow the devil to dictate my course or steer me in the wrong direction simply by causing a little flare-up of hostility in my life. I'm not going to get frustrated about certain things and allow him to say, to convince me to throw in the towel. I've come too far. I've seen too much. I've experienced the goodness of God for way too long to be tempted to throw in the towel and say, I'm not going to pursue God's will anymore. I'm not going to pursue God's heart anymore. That should not even be on our options list. So it says, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Now I want to take you back to the Old Testament, back to Isaiah, because that is a quote from Isaiah chapter 8, and I believe it is verse number 14. Starting at verse number 12, says, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. So is verse number 12. Listen to what verse 13 says. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. So when people are threatening you for doing what is right and trying to harm you, don't be troubled, because you know that you're doing the right thing. Make sure to keep a holy relationship with God. It says, let him be your fear and let him be your dread. He will be a sanctuary. He will be a safe spot for you, but he will also be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who are persecuting you. So don't give in. Don't be anxious. Don't be filled with worry. Don't fret. There's a lot of things that you do not have to do. The devil will try and convince you to do them, but don't let him. Don't give him permission. Okay? And so it says in verse number 15, that in this process of dealing with doing the right thing and still facing problems as a result of it, he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means to set apart as holy and say, God, you know, I didn't start this because I wanted to start it. I did it because you asked me to do it. I believe that what you call holy is holy. And therefore, I'm going to set you apart as holy. I'm going to take you and I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to exalt you in this situation. I'm not going to lower you down into this mess as far as my mindset goes, but I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to revere you. We're going to have a holy relationship. Even if we're in a mess, it's going to be a holy mess. And you're going to be exalted and you're going to be glorified. So we've got to keep that place where God is got more authority, has more to say, more to dictate in our lives than our problems do. More to say than our persecutors do. And he says there's one more thing, and that is during that time of being persecuted for doing the right thing, for doing a good thing by people who aren't happy about it, you also need to prepare your heart and your mind to be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Be ready. Can I ask you today, why are you a Christian? Why are you a believer? Why are you teaching Sunday school? Why are you sacrificing your time? I'm not asking to sow seeds of doubt. I'm asking you because somebody may ask you, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? I had a person that asked me years ago, why do you work so hard pastoring a church where attendance is somewhere between 40 and 60? And my response is, because I'm supposed to make the most out of every opportunity that the Lord gives me. I don't want the church to always remain a church the size of 40 to 60. That's our average attendance. There's more people that come to the church than that, just never all at the same time. And then I want to make sure that when a person is ready to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ, that I'm there and I'm ready to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ with them. So you have that same responsibility. You have that same opportunity. In fact, you have it more than what the pastor does. You see, when I discovered this was when I was the senior pastor at Merit Assembly of God, and I had some staff, and I was working a part-time job so that I could afford to pay these other people. And that didn't work out well. But what it did allow me to do was work around a lot of people that I never would have got to meet had I not had that opportunity. So what happened in that situation was I got to minister to a lot. I became Pastor Bob to a lot of people outside the four walls of the church. A few years ago, I was at one of our general councils. We've got one of those coming up in 2019 as well. And there was a very famous pastor that was speaking to our ministry body, this thousands and thousands of Assemblies of God ministers. And this particular person happened to be Southern Baptist. And he said, I want you to know something. the American church and the church around the globe needs the Assemblies of God to be Pentecostal. He said, the thing is, when people come into your church and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit begins to take place, they don't know what is going on. And so, would you just please offer a biblical explanation of what is taking place in your service, and you will find that a lot of people they're just looking to understand. Remember, that's what we talked about earlier. A lot of the problems that we experience in life are because others don't understand us. And that can be women not understanding men, adults not understanding children, children not understanding adults, the poor not understanding the rich not understanding the poor, Republicans not understand Democrats, Democrats not understanding Republicans, Christians not understanding non-Christians, people who are yet to be Christians, people not understanding God. There's a whole lot of lack of understanding, and so we need to be ready to give an account of what we believe. Be ready. The thing is, don't wait. Don't wait until the need arises, because then you will be unprepared. The thing is, we've got to be prepared beforehand. I tell people, you need to be prepared on how you're going to deal with temptation before you find yourself in temptation. You need to be prepared to be faithful with people's finances before you're tempted to be unfaithful with people's finances. You need to be prepared on how you're going to deal with sexual temptation before you ever find yourself in a situation, so that you don't fail the test. Be prepared. Be ready to give an answer. And then when you give it, you don't give it in arrogance. You give the defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Okay? Moses was the most powerful person on the planet when he lived, and yet God said he was the meekest. You see, we don't have to be arrogant. We don't have to be like a bull in a china shop. We should be there and saying, okay, my ministry here is to bring this person who is persecuting me from a place of lack of understanding to a place where they do understand. Paul was so persuasive when he stood before Herod Agrippa that Herod Agrippa said, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." And Paul's response was, not only you, but everyone who hears the sound of my voice, that he would be like me, except for these chains. Because he was very articulate. He was able to communicate in a manner that even the king could understand. John the Baptist had an audience with King Herod. He ended up dying, but Herod heard the truth. If somebody asked you to give an account of why you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, could you do it? Because the world doesn't know. For the past several decades, society has been putting up more and more firewalls that has made it more and more challenging for people to even hear the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot of hostility towards Christians, and we just need the opportunity to live it out before them and explain it, give a defense for it, and do so not with arrogance, not with anger, not with rage, but with meekness. And then it says this, with meekness and fear. What I take out of that is, it is a very high and holy calling to be able to give a reason for the faith that we have. and to realize that I need the Holy Spirit to literally give me the words to say so that this person will say yes to Jesus, that I will help them to understand that some of the lies, some of the deception that they have been exposed to, that it will be shattered, and the strongholds of hurt and bitterness and disappointment would come crashing down. I believe it was the movie God's Not Dead. I believe that was the movie where a person had a bad experience very early in life, and they'd carried all this bitterness. And finally, at the very end, this professor puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't got to see the second one. There might even be another one out after that, but I haven't seen that. But do you realize what a precious thing it is? The first person that I remember communicating the gospel to was my great-grandmother. You say, well, that's kind of family friendly. Well, where would you like to start? Would you rather like to start on the front lines of warfare? Would you like to go into training with some people who are there that's got your back? And recently my mother said, yeah, do you remember going into the intensive care unit and sharing your faith with her and praying with her? I don't remember that particular episode. I remember praying with her when she was staying with us and going into the room that she was sleeping in. And I remember praying for her in there, but I don't remember that. It's a very high and holy calling. There are a lot of people who might be listening to my voice and you're dealing with nursing home ministry or rehab facility. I want you to understand that is a very precious ministry, because that may be the last opportunity. Yours may be one of the last voices that they have the opportunity to hear the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ from, in a manner that is going to make a difference. So don't say that to intimidate you. I want you to just fully appreciate the glorious opportunity. How would you like to have been Ananias who led Saul of Tarsus in his conversion to Jesus Christ and led him to faith in Jesus? I mean, what a phenomenal privilege was bestowed upon him. You and I have that same privilege. Let's make sure that we give an account for the faith that we have inside of us. God bless you. You have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
King of love, you've called my name. You gave me life, although the shame had covered me. You took my hand, and here I stand. I'm saved by grace. Father God, you heard the prayer from deep within. My spirit cried, if there's a God, come rescue me. Now here I stand, I'm saved by grace. I will thank you for saving my soul, for you've shown me the truth in your word. I will take up my cross